Good evening. It is great to be with you. Pray that all is going well, that you've had a great day. And it is a blessing to be together tonight. As I hope you do have your Bibles with you. I hope you have them open to the book of Proverbs, as Brother Hammer just read for us there a moment ago. This is going to be a passage that will center our thoughts, be the place where we start and go forward and then come back to. So we're going to use this passage quite a bit tonight and talk about the ugliness and the dangers of quarreling. But before we do that, let me share some good news. I want to share something with you that involves our family here, one of our brothers in Christ. And this is the note that I was given. It says this: Robbie Fudge responded to the invitation this morning over in Clarksville asking for prayers. And Robbie wanted to share that with us here, his brothers and sisters in Christ here, his family here. And then Robbie personally says, I want to refocus my Christian service and live each day as God would have me live. He says, I ask for your prayers for strength and patience. So he responded to the invitation this morning at another location and then wanted to share that with us tonight. And so I'm thankful for that. I know you are too. Let's have a word of prayer together. And so we can begin as a family honoring Robbie's request. I'll be praying for him. And as we all seek to be closer together, be a family who's there for each other, encourage each other, uplifts each other, and is especially there for each other when things are difficult and when we need the mercy and love of Almighty God, we need the mercy and love of one another as well. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do come before you tonight so thankful that we can pray to you in this way and that we can approach you with our concerns and with our fears, and we can come to you with sin and be confident because of the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven. We're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. Tonight, Father, we offer a special word of thanks and a word of petition, a word of supplication that you would bless, be with, and supply our brother Robbie with all that he needs. Forgive him of his sins. And Father, we recognize that Robbie doesn't walk alone, that as he faces struggles, we're there with him. And that in fact, we struggle also. And Father, we need forgiveness. And we are thankful for the blood of Jesus that continues to cleanse us. It's such a great blessing to be a part of this family, the family of God Universal, your family that meets here in this place. God, we're blessed and we're thankful. And so please protect, uplift, encourage, strengthen, guide our brother Robbie, and help us as well as we seek to be an encouragement to him. And as we seek to be more like your son, Jesus, it's in the name of Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. So there's been a lot of talk recently. We've made mention of it here. And I'm sure that you have read about it in various places, online, seen things in the news, things like that, about the confrontations that college students were encouraged to have with their family members as they came back home and gathered around the Thanksgiving table. They were encouraged to quarrel and fight about certain social issues and things like that. And so there's that bit of noise that's coming in with talking about forced, focused quarreling. And then as we sort of come from a vastly different direction, we've been thinking quite a bit here in the last several weeks about elders and deacons being appointed to their positions and seeking to be men who help and guide and strengthen and encourage the family that meets here. And so as we've been thinking about that, certainly we've been looking at texts of Scripture that speak of the qualifications of these men. And one passage in particular stands out to me, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. In light of all the things going on, it says that the overseer, the elder, the bishop, it says in 1 Timothy 3:3, note these items: not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. When you see those things sort of lined up in this way, not a drunkard, not violent, not quarrelsome, it fits so perfectly with what Brother Hammer read for us just a moment ago in Proverbs 20. Listen again to Proverbs 20. Because remember 1 Timothy 3:3. Not a drunkard, not violent, not quarrelsome. Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. Here's another way of thinking about it. Here's what the text is saying. Alcohol leads to quarrels and fighting. That's the layman's way of explaining that. Wine is a mocker. It not only mocks you, it causes your mouth to run and become the mocker itself. Strong drink's a brawler, leads you right into the next fight. And whoever is led astray by these things, whoever is led astray by this strong drink is not wise. The person led astray by this is a fool. So there's similar to the first line in 1 Timothy 3:3, not a drunkard. Then the next one, verse 2. The terror of a king, those who would dare get in his path. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his life. Uncontrolled anger, unchecked anger, leads to fighting. That's what it says about the king here and those who would get in his way. Remember 1 Timothy 3:3, not violent but gentle. And then Proverbs 20, verse 3. It's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Being an undisciplined fool leads to fighting. So look at the way these two passages parallel. Proverbs 20, who is wise? Who's the wise man? Who's the foolish man? Well, he says the one that gives self false prey to and gives sway to alcohol, that leads to the fighting and the quarreling. The uncontrolled anger, that leads to fighting and quarreling. The one who's an undisciplined fool will find themselves quarreling and fighting. And so it's no wonder that we read in the New Testament, what should the bishop, what should the shepherd of the Lord's flock look like? Well, he's not going to be a drunkard. He's not going to be violent. He's going to be gentle. And he's not going to be quarrelsome. We are called to be different. We are called to live above the fray. We're called to live above the righteousness of the Pharisees, as Jesus would say in Matthew 5. And that just means this. We're called to live differently and distinctly from the rest of the world. What passes as okay, what passes as moral, what passes as fitting for the world is beneath the standards of Jesus Christ. Here's what we've been called to do. We've been called to be peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, those who actively seek and make peace. They're the ones who are called the sons of God. You don't have the right to call yourself, to call the Father your Father, if you are the one who is quarrelsome. That's not the way God works. The peacemaker can call himself the Son of God. Then there's Romans 14, verse 19. Romans 14, 19. Let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. What you and I, and note, this is every last one of us. This is not limited to the few, the chosen, those who would lead the flock and be elders and shepherds. This is to every last one of us. We're to pursue what makes for peace. We're to seek after and actively pursue what upbuilds the body of Christ. Not quarreling, but making peace. Now, quite certainly, there's going to be times where we have honest disagreements. That's part of being a human being, right? That's part of what it means to live around other people. Unless you just completely pick yourself up and isolate yourself away from everybody else, if you mix and mingle with other people, even people you desperately love, there's going to be times where we have honest disagreements. There's also going to be times where we actually have to offer rebuke. I would probably qualify it and call it loving, righteous rebuke. But there's going to be times where we have to offer rebuke. This is required, again, of every single Christian who cares about their fellow man. Note these passages. If you're taking notes, write these down as I go through them quickly. 2 Timothy 4:2, Titus 2:15, Matthew 7:5, Ephesians 5:11, and on we could go. The Bible makes it plain. There's times where you are to sharply rebuke that which is wrong, that which was evil, that which is unrighteous. And in fact, as Paul said in Ephesians 5:11, that we're to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or even expose those unfruitful, ugly, sinful works. So there will be times where we have to offer righteous rebuke. There'll be times where we have to stand up for the truth of God's word and not allow error to go unchecked. Titus 1:11, he says, speaking of false teachers, notice what Paul says to Titus. These false teachers, note this, they must be silenced. Now, that's pretty straightforward. The false teachers must be silenced. Says they're upsetting whole families because they're teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. So since they're teaching what they shouldn't teach, they need to be silenced. Okay, so we've laid that groundwork. We've said, okay, human beings are going to have honest disagreements sometime. There's going to be times where we have to offer a rebuke. There's going to be times where we have to stand up for the truth of God's word. But please hear me now when I say this, and don't abuse those facts. Because that's what we often do. We say, well, you know, disagreements are just, that's a normal thing of being human. So I'm going to disagree. Well, you know, rebukes should happen sometimes. So I'm going to rebuke. And you know, we got to stand up for the truth of God's word, so I'm going to quarrel. Please don't abuse the facts. Please don't allow these occasional situations to distort the truth about who we are. Please don't let these occasional situations distort the truth about what our disposition or what our attitude really is. Because it may well be the case that you are just the quarreling person of Proverbs 20 verse 3, but you've disguised it. You've fooled yourself into thinking, I'm not a quarrelsome person. I'm standing up for what's right. I'm not a quarrelsome person. You know, just, we all argue sometimes. We all get in a disagreement sometimes. Please don't abuse the facts with the true disposition of who you are and who I am. What we have to have in mind here is not being a person who is characterized by quarrels. Proverbs 23, it's an honor for a man to keep aloof from this strife, from these quarrels. It's the fool who finds himself continually quarreling. None of us should desire the description of one who quarrels. If that's the description that is placed upon us, rightfully so, if that's the description placed upon us, it's one that puts us in the crosshairs of God of being called a fool. We want to be known as righteous peacemakers, not those that God would look at and call foolish quarrelers. All of us, every last one of us, should be described by Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18, we've said it from this place countless times. As much as it depends on you, or as far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. That's what should describe you and describe me. Not the passage in Proverbs 20, verse 3 that says it's the fool who finds himself quarreling, but the passage here in Romans 12:18 that says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all. None of us should be described by, well, as much as it depends on you, quarrel with every single person who slows down just long enough to get in any kind of conversation with you. That describes too many, but it shouldn't be us. So for a moment, let's think through, because if we've said on the positive side, the Lord says in Matthew 5, the Lord says in Romans 12, the Lord says, be peacemakers, be people who pursue peace. And he says, it's the fool who's the quarreler. Well, so now the question becomes, well, how can I be sure? What's sort of a test? What's some kind of inside information I can use to look at myself, look in my soul, look into the mirror and see if I am a peacemaker or a quarreler? Well, let's think through some things very quickly. Here's how you know if you are a quarrelsome kind of person. You're a quarrelsome kind of person if you deem every single issue to be of equal importance, if you defend your choice of restaurant with the same intensity that you defend the authority of Scripture, if you will argue about what to watch on TV just as quickly as you will argue about where you ought to worship, you see, we've got something that's out of balance here, don't we? If you're ready to argue and fight about every last thing, you're not only wearing the people out that are around you, but you're wearing upon the Lord as well. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, he speaks of things that are the weightier matters of the law. Not to let anyone off the hook and to think, well, there's some things that should be overlooked, some things that should be ignored. But he does make it plain that there are some things that are weightier, some things that are heavier, some things that are of more value, as it were. But the idea is this, that no matter what the topic is, some of us are willing to jump in and fight. The quarrelsome person sees every issue as equal. The humble, the meek, the peacemaker knows that some situations call for letting it go. If you've never found a situation that you can let go, you may need to investigate Proverbs 20, verse 3. In James chapter 1, verse 19, we know this passage. James 1:19. Let every person be quick to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. So obviously, if we are quick to speak and slow to listen, that's indicative of the person who enjoys a quarrel. Here's the next one. If you are never, ever willing to give someone else the benefit of the doubt, if you are always putting the worst possible spin on whatever the situation might be, if you're always going with the worst possible scenario, you know, some information is shared, some partial bit of information is shared with you, and there's a number of different scenarios you might go with, and as you're sort of getting ready to pick the one you want, it's got to be that one. Because that's the ugliest one. That's the most scandalous one. It's got to be that. If you're never giving anybody the benefit of the doubt, you may fit Proverbs 20, verse 3. Because here's what you need to know. Part of what the golden rule of Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Part of the golden rule is just this. Give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Because you know what? You're going to want the benefit of the doubt sometime soon also. There's going to be some kind of something seen or heard about you that isn't true, and it's going to be shared. It's going to be pushed down the pipe. And you're going to want somebody to give you the benefit of the doubt. The golden rule says treat others the way you want to be treated. I need to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I would love it if you'd give me the benefit of the doubt. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to see that part of what love is all about, part of truly loving someone, is having the wherewithal and the strength and the kindness to give them the benefit of the doubt. Listen to this description in 1 Corinthians 13. You know it well. We begin at verse 4. This is what love is, and this is the way that you should treat other people. Love is patient, and love is kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant, not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way, and it's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Now look at verse 7 with me. And as we read this short line here together, I want you to hear this. That part of what this description is, that it says this, love gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Oftentimes this is, you know, it's read at a wedding. And rightfully so, this is the way a husband and a wife, that's the way they should treat each other. But this is the way all of us should treat each other. And oftentimes whenever we read this passage about, you know, love hopes all things, meaning this husband and this wife, boy, they're just looking forward to having this wonderful storybook life together. What that's talking about there when it says love believes all things and hopes all things is that love gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. I believe that you're trying, and I believe that you've got my best interest at heart, and I have hope for your future. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. But if you're not willing to do that for someone, if you're not willing to give the benefit of the doubt, the Lord may look at you and say, here's a foolish quarreler. Then there's this, and this fits so perfectly with 2019, 2020 as we approach. In this digital age, in this social media age, where it is so easy to voice and to share every single thought that comes our way, we have almost no privacy anymore, right? And we've done that to ourselves. Here's the meal I just ate. Here's the place I just went. I just took the mail out. I just did this. Everybody, I want you to see it. Here's my opinion on this person. Here's my opinion on that person. If you have no unspoken opinions, you're likely a quarreler. Because whenever we put those things out there, oftentimes what it is an invitation to fight. Something that's come up on Twitter here recently is this. Is some weird statement is made, some outlandish opinion is given, and then you put, fight me. Like, this person's the greatest person ever. This pizza topping's the greatest pizza topping ever. Fight me. Right? You know, it's something silly, and it's said in fun. I understand that it's a joke, and it's blah, blah, blah. But the mindset is this. I've got an opinion. I'm going to put it out there. Bring it on. I'm not changing. So if we can take it from something as frivolous and as silly as something as a movie or a pizza topping to something that matters. People shouldn't know every single thought and opinion that you have. Listen to the words of Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Did you let that sink in? He who restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. That's Proverbs 17:27 and 28. You shouldn't be the type of person that says, I have no unvoiced or unspoken opinions. There are some things that just need to be kept in-house. Some things that need to be kept in soul. The Lord says it's the fool who opens his mouth and just shares everything. Well, then there's this. Just a couple more things here on this list of ours. The quarrelsome person is unable to sympathize with other people. The quarrelsome person sees every other person they come in contact with as an opponent. Another target to take down and win another fight with. But you know what? Not every single person you come in contact with is your opponent. Some people you come in contact with are lost and need the gospel of Jesus. Some people you come in contact with are just hurting and need comfort and need care and need to be uplifted, need to be encouraged. If we never ever attempt to put ourselves in another person's position, and we never seek to see things from their vantage point, we're only going to always see them as opponents and never as those who need the gospel, who need love, who need encouragement, who need to be rescued, who need to be picked up. Turn with me to Proverbs 16. I want you to hear these words. Where in this place, God is telling us about sharing words that heal, sharing words that bring peace and love and uplifting to a spirit rather than breaking bones and hurting. Proverbs 16, beginning at verse 21. 16:21. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Sweetness of speech allows you to be more influential with the person who needs the help. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. And then verse 24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You see, the Lord seeks for us to find people that we can sympathize with, share words that they pick them up and that infuses spirit and life and energy into them, rather than always just looking for the next person to pick off. Then there's this. Our instincts, our knee-jerk reactions ought to be towards encouragement rather than towards criticism. Our initial reaction ought to be towards encouragement rather than towards criticism. If, as you survey the landscape and you look at the people all around yourself, and if all you see, if the only thing that you can see around you are people who need rebuke, and you don't see any people who need refreshing, and you don't see any people who need encouragement, then we have a problem. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, build up the body of Christ. Hebrews 10, 24, we're to stir up each other to love and good works. And then there's Luke 19, 41, where Jesus Christ is approaching Jerusalem, and he weeps over a city that wouldn't repent. He'd already rebuked them, and yeah, he's going to rebuke them again. But what he wants is for them to change, for them to repent, for them to come to him, to submit to him. He wants to connect. The initial reaction, the prone disposition of Jesus the Christ was one of helping and encouraging and leading, not of criticizing and rebuking. What is your initial knee-jerk reaction to people, especially when they present an idea to you? And then there's this, the final one. You may fit the description that the Lord shares with us in Proverbs 20, verse 3. If you can't remember the last time you changed your mind. Now, obviously, the truth never changes. The truth never changes. What the Lord God Almighty has shared with us has been the case and will continue to be the case until the Lord Jesus returns. Truth doesn't change. But the person with the gentle and the humble spirit is going to recognize that there are things for them to learn and there are ways for them to grow. It doesn't occur to the quarrelsome person that they might be wrong or mistaken about something. Now, don't ever, ever, ever get so arrogant as to think that you've got nothing to learn. But now on the other side of the spectrum, don't be so timid as to think that you can't know the truth. Don't be so timid and so small as to think you can't know the will of God. The Lord says in Ephesians 5, know the will of the Lord. He wants us to know what he expects and what he wants out of him. Even the great intellectual Paul, a giant among giants, he changed his mind about Jesus. He went from calling Jesus a liar and a blasphemer to then going around the world, standing before kings and crowds, those who wanted his blood, he would stand in front of them and tell them about the risen Christ. So don't run from confrontations. Don't run from controversy. Sometimes they're necessary. But don't be known as the quarrelsome person. The Lord said, it's an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be found quarreling. If it's Jesus the Christ that you're quarreling with, stop fighting and surrender even tonight. If it's every neighbor that you're quarreling with, stop fighting and repent even tonight. It isn't just the elder that's called to this high life. It's not just the bishop who's called to this high standard. It's every one of us. It may be that you don't realize, maybe you haven't realized, maybe until just tonight, how far you need to go or how far you've got to go. It may be that you realize you can't do this on your own and you need the mercy and the strength of Almighty God to help you. Don't wait any longer. Stop fighting and stop quarreling and submit your will to his. We would say it to you this way. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we call upon you to follow the commands of the Lord, to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, and be immersed to have your sins washed away, buried with Jesus, raised with Jesus in his power to a new life. But if you've been bought by the blood of Christ but continue to quarrel, we call on you to stop fighting while we stand and sing together.